organized. Describe Tracy events now.
Well, we started off by referring women to the hospital to get abortion.
Mm-hmm.
What we had done, as I said, before that, the free clinic was giving counseling mm-hmm. to women.
Yeah.
And then giving them, like, three places to go.
To go, yeah.
So we, you know, became aware of this much better abortion technique
mm-hmm.
that was being, you know, used over at the clinic mm-hmm. at Carmen. And we also became aware of how much money was involved in this whole thing and so forth. So, Lorraine and I...
How did you meet Lorraine? Was she involved in all these groups along the way? Because you're always paired with her.
Yeah.
Along the way.
Right. Well, Lorraine had a kind of a parallel story with me in a way.
Mm-hmm.
She was involved in the Orange County now.
Uh-huh.
At the time that I was involved in the LA now.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I say we have our roots in now, so it's... You know, we never really had any...
Well, like, Sharna told me when I wrote Tony, I better not tell her that she was one of my advisors, or else she wouldn't even talk to her. I'm like, oh.
Right.
So I'm like, well, maybe they all hate each other. I don't know. So I don't know. You know, and I read these things, and you know how when the press isn't like sister and things like that, mostly it's people writing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after, when the center was organized, everyone got all mad at the center because of the thing, which I couldn't even sort out, which I've got to ask you about once we get down here. But I couldn't get any, like, straight journalism reporting. All I could get was letter from the women in Orange County, letter from the women in Los Angeles saying, no, 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 no. Our center's great. No, no, we want to open our own center. And I'm going, wait, what's happening? I need, like, objective LA Times reporting. Well, sort of objective LA Times reporting, but it's hard to get a picture from the local things, like what happens, and all I read about is all this controversy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
See, this group thinks this, and this group says that, and I'm going, well, wait, this group is like 30 women. Do they all think that, or is the one who wrote this paper the one who thinks that?
No, so. They all thought it, pretty much. I was, as I say, in this third group, or a subgroup, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
And so, like you,
mm-hmm.
I was more of a... sort of witness to this.
Bystander trying to sort it all out.
And feeling, you know, like we wanted to certainly relate to both groups.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a lot in common in certain
mm-hmm.
ways with both. Probably in a more profound way, I'd have to say, I probably related more to the Women's Center side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this was just more radical.
Yeah, you said that when you went to the First Now meeting, you felt that already you were
yeah.
more radical. I'm sure if anything, your experiences made you more radical than you had been the first
right.
time you went to that Now meeting in 69 or whatever. So
yeah, so really.
But
yeah.
you didn't discount Now. So.
No.
I can see.
No, not
in
at all.
In the middle.
Yeah. And, well, also, I think it's important to realize that the LA Now has had a very different history than most of the Nows in
yeah.
the whole country. I mean, it really is quite distinct.
Yeah. Well, as I read through, it's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially with the lesbian issue. I mean, they were like the policymakers, basically. They, you know,
mm-hmm.
the convention later adopted the resolution that was virtually the same as the one that
yeah.
that the local chapter had.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because if you read the books, the West Coast does not exist in the women's movement. I don't know if you're aware of that. It chops off, well, I guess, once you leave New York or something.
Because
oh. I read these books and...
Painfully aware of this.
You're the
painfully.
Only one who's in the book. And the books that I were looking at was Women's Health. But, like,
I
Tony
know.
Caribbean, people like that, just they aren't
they're
there.
Good. I know.
It's like whatever happened to California just didn't happen, you know?
And the East Coast chauvinism is so... It's so annoying, I think. But,
oh, yeah.
Well, and we were very aware of that. No,
at the time.
We were very aware. Well, actually, what I became aware of when we traveled across the country
mm-hmm.
is that there's also a West Coast show. There's a coastal
yeah.
chauvinism.
Everybody thinks their coast is best.
Right. And in fact, when we went across the country, it just wonderful things were happening all over the place.
Even in Minnesota and Iowa and little places.
Salt Lake City.
Who really gets the brunt of it? Those people get the brunt of it.
You know, Iowa, that as a matter of fact, women were doing very interesting things there. And what would happen, typically, is that a group in, let's say, Kansas City or whatever, would do something. And then it would, the news would get to Los Angeles or to the New York.
Yeah.
And once it did that, then when that group took it up, it became newsworthy. But in fact, it had started...
It started someplace else.
In the middle.
So, like, where was the first famous women health center?
Well, now, that really was here.
You were it.
Yes.
We were first.
Right, because, you know, we were here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was indigenous. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things happened then. I mean, I can tell you a lot of, you know, if you named specific things, I could say, well, as a matter of fact, that started in, you know, Florida, or that started...
So how did you find Lorraine? She was from Orange County now. Did she move, or...?
She found us for the Every Woman's Newspaper.
Yeah, I was really disappointed that Varda Wong, was that the lady who put that out?
Yes.
She's in Oakland. Everybody goes in Oakland, it seems, a lot of people. Or nobody knew where she was. That she might have been one of the people that... I was like, well, you know, no one's heard from her for like 7 years, and no one knows where she is. And same thing with, like, Anne for Freedom, who would have been, like, great to talk to about women's history, which is, of course, my field anyway. But she's definitely in Oakland. So people...
It may justify a trip to Oakland.
Yeah. I should have applied for a grant, is what I should have applied for, but... Dumb me, 1987, I'm looking at a grant for undergraduate research, and I'm going, oh, they must mean science. And later on, my advisor said, I can't believe you thought that. He's like, hasn't your consciousness been raised at all by reading this stuff? Nobody's even written a book on what you're doing. You should be a PhD thesis. They definitely would have given you money. I could have gotten money. I was a fool. But anyways.
Well, you were, I could say, your consciousness just wasn't there at that moment.
No, it certainly wasn't, but I would know next time, that's for sure.
So I've forgotten the question.
So she hunted you down through every woman.
She did. She literally hunted us down.
Found you at night back there in the back of the bookstore.
She read about this. She knew it was what she wanted to
do. Sort of like you.
Do. Right.
This is me. This is what I need to be doing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And well, a lot of that applies to a lot of women. Jenny Cassidy Grant, who was a co-founder of WomanCare. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Read something in a newspaper and just literally had to climb mountains to, you know, get to it. So Lorraine came to either our first or second meeting.
Mm-hmm. About how many of you are there?
There were, well, there's about five of us. But, Julie Barton, Simone Time, myself, Colleen Wilson, and, well, I can't remember her name.
So you were all either out of now or the Women's Center?
Right. And Mary Petrinovich also at that time. So we had this meeting at the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
About 30 women came.
Mm-hmm.
We spent the first part of the meeting talking about the availability of abortion and then just the importance of it, et cetera, you know, just a general discussion. And we talked about the improved method. You know, carbon cannula, et cetera. And then I did self-examination.
Mm-hmm. Now, before all this, you'd done lots of book reading, right? I remember reading somewhere that you said you had read. After we'd read everything that we could ever find to read, we just sort of jumped in because we didn't know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was Our Bodies, Ourselves, had that come out yet, the first one?
No. It was probably just...
Medical textbook? Is that what you were looking at when you were reading, or what were you...
Mostly, I was reading studies and surveys and histories and Lana Phelan's book and a lot of things that were coming out at that time, women's literature, you know, newspapers. It was a whole span of things. Not too much medically, really, but... Mostly, roughly equivalent to what you're reading.
I mean,
what was available.
When it was coming out, all the stuff on.
Right.
Like that.
And, because I was, as I say, I was doing public speaking on abortion. So.
Were you in the Speakers Bureau at NOW or the Women's Center?
Yes, And that was an interesting experience in itself, but I was. And
That's into the Rotary Club. No, I'm
kidding. Well, I was kind of not much of a, I didn't fit into the mold too well, because everybody else was either an MD or PhD.
And now here was extremely professional,
right,
even compared to the other nows. It was a pretty upwardly mobile type group.
Yeah. When they came to how to describe me, we had to write little bios. I said, and I struggled for a week, you know, and I kind of went over some of that same material that you just went over with me. And it was kind of depressing. You know?
Just about like, I haven't really achieved a lot here.
Yeah,
so where did they send you to speak? Just like briefly, what
well, for people we call, you know,
other women's groups,
churches, like Unitarian Church.
I know, I really wanted to track down some church women, and no one knew where they were. They all said they were Unitarian, but we can't remember their names. Because
yeah.
I thought that would have been
Brooks
real interesting.
Started out in.
Was she? You know, because Sharna said something about her that she would be good to talk to just anyway.
Yeah,
you know, she got fired and sex discrimination.
Oh, yeah.
She did a lot with Joan on the self-defense for the rape.
Mm-hmm. But when you mentioned the church, that was Jenny's initial.
One more in. I'm supposed to be like, I'm supposed to like cut off like a long time ago, but I can't help it. I keep coming to like, oh, I have to include this woman. They're like really interesting. This is a whole other aspect of the movement, because I refuse to just say this is what the women's movement was. I don't feel that I can say this is what the women's movement was. I mean, I think for every woman it was something different, and so I'm compromising by describing as many different women's experiences as I can. So I have a hard time not, you know, just adding. She goes, you know, save it for your PhD. We'll just turn this into your PhD thesis, okay? I'm like, all right. Seven or eight. I promise. I'm up to seven right now. But
really?
Maybe one more.
Really?
Yeah. I have a lot of interesting
work. You must have a wealth of material.
You're my first one. I wouldn't know. I'm doing Joan next Tuesday and Jean Cordova next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sure, not until December, because that was the first date that we could find that we could get together.
Oh, I see. I'm the first you've actually interviewed.
Yeah, you're the first one I've talked to. Sure, and I've talked to a lot of them. She's like another advisor to me, basically, because, you know, she knows all about this. But you're the person whose life I've delved into to talk to. I've got all my interviews written. But
you started
the center where?
We started off at the Women's Center.
Uh-huh. Is this on Crenshaw, then?
On Crenshaw.
Uh-huh.
Which was a couple doors south of Olympic.
Yeah.
And it's a radio station, you know, or something. And so we took over a back room.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who would say we took over the whole place. it was, the Women's Center had many lives, and at the point that we...
Now, where are we when you get to, like, about what time?
That was 1971
or so?
71.
Yeah, so they're close to closing anyways. They closed at the end of 72.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is another one of the shifts.
Uh-huh.
The Women's Center had a lot of shifts.
Yeah, we were in a period where they were understaffed, grossly. I mean, I ended up being a staffer.
What was the leadership like? What was the structure? It wasn't the structure, but
The structure at that point was a... weekly steering committee.
Okay, they did have the steering committee.
Yeah. And it seemed to be, to me, paralyzed in many ways. They just couldn't seem to get, you know, much done.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a tremendous number of women calling, coming in. It was...
they were serving as a hotline back then,
yes,
weren't they?
A hub of activity. Believe me, I did a lot of hotline activity. I mean, because I was in the back room, I hear the phone ring.
Hi!
Oh, yes, your battery. Well, okay. And then, you know,
yeah.
Or, oh, you know, you need a job, or, oh, you don't have a roof over your head, or, oh, whatever,
yeah.
You know. So, and there was the dance. They had, on Saturday night, they had a dance. And they had the do-it-yourself auto mechanics class.
Oh yeah, that woman taught that class at every free university, I think. I used to see her name in like Volkswagen. She would teach people how to that, and Joanna Gullick, who ended up becoming an architect, I guess.
Oh really?
Sharna suggested also that I use her. She's an architect out in the city planner's office in Santa Monica.
She is.
Yeah, and I used to see her. Yeah, Joanna, her little ass, Joanna Handelwoman. I can like fix or build anything you need to be built. I'm like, wow.
she did work for us.
All the women in Los Angeles, yeah. It's amazing. Nope, everybody, I don't want to say, like, rose high, because the things that you all were doing back then were amazing anyways, but, like, people like, you know, you and Sherna, you developed your own careers. Which is so interesting, because I would never think of, you know, designing my own career. I just, you know, could be a historian. That's like, I'm going to be a historian, because I ran out of all the other things on my list I didn't like.
Right.
I really loved this, luckily, but, you know, after I decided I didn't want to be a lawyer, I'm like, what am I going to do? I've got nothing to do with my life. I majored in history and English, the most unpractical majors on earth. What am I going to do? But it's so interesting to see how everybody, you know, two of the women I'm doing have books out. You know, one of the women is a newscaster. It's amazing. Everybody has, like, gone so many different places.
To do, yeah. Well, I think it's, the opportunity was there. And those doors have largely closed now.
So what kind of groups, were there any other groups? Was there an art group there yet? Or was it just the Women's Center?
I don't remember an art group. But they had the bookstore.
Came after. Yeah, the first, which Sisterhood Bookstore was in there, right?
Right. And, Adele went on to start the Sisterhood Bookstore.
She was the first person I ever talked to about this.
Oh, really?
She told me to call Sherna.
Yeah. And, that's right. Right there by UCLA.
Yeah. 2 blocks down, my teacher said, yeah, she go there. They've been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was so helpful.
Oh, yeah. I remember Adele and her pregnancy test. Found out she was pregnant.
Just walked upstairs and said, hey, you guys do something about this? Mm-hmm.
So, so we were at the Women's Center. We started doing self-help classes.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was just
or sessions.
You and those 5 women, or have you gotten more people now? Or
it was really us at that point. Maybe there was 8 or 10, if you want to include
some people who were
some people helping. Yeah. But it was a core group. Definitely was.
What kind of racial mixture did you guys have?
White. We subsequently...
Don't feel bad. Everybody's white.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no.
I
didn't feel bad. I felt bad in the sense that obviously it would have enriched us to have more ethnic backgrounds, but I didn't feel defensive.
Yeah.
I guess because I knew that there was a lot of reasons for that.
You were working with what you had.
Exactly.
You know, you were happy to have 10 people. You didn't care what they were,
yeah. So, and we started referring women to the hospital. Mm-hmm. We got our doctor. We reserved a time.
Now, where did you find a doctor?
We found out this really weird thing. It's called money.
Yeah.
And I remember after we came back from our tour, and I did some research on how many abortions are done in L.A. and where, and, you know, kind of figured out what the whole situation was in that way. I mean, that's where my social research background
came in handy.
You know, to kind of look it over, decided that we would approach, you know, a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even with all that had happened, I still had a lot of illusions about doctors. I mean, I really did. And thought of them as like Marcus Welby or, you know, whatever.
Kind of the grandfather.
Yes. And so I called this particular doctor that we had referred to. And I broached the idea with great trepidation. Uh-huh. I broached the idea to him of bringing the women that we referred to him and that we would counsel them, you know, and that we would, you know, work with them. And he said, what would be the mechanism of compensation?
Mechanism? The barter system will bring you home preserves.
Mechanism of, oh, that's good. And of course I knew.
They teach them that at medical school, you know.
And so I said, well, we thought about $15. This is out of 150. You know, pittance. And that was fine with him. As it turned out, we didn't end up doing it with him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's what we did.
Did you try to find a woman? Or did you just find a doctor?
Well, we soon found what an illusion that was.
Yeah, and just because she's a woman doesn't mean she's really sympathetic.
Right. So, we just found a doctor that was good at doing abortions and it would do it our way.
Yeah, would let you guys, because you went, didn't you, with the women and would, like, go for them.
And we did the pelvic examination at the clinic, at the health, at the Women's Center. And did the counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd schedule everybody to come in, like, on Wednesday morning or something like that.
And everyone would go together?
We go by car over to the hospital, and they're ready to get their abortion, and we, you know, work with everybody, and then
everybody back home.
Yeah. And it was, our, for example, as I say, they had the dance there, and I think it, now that I think about it, I think we did it on a Saturday, and they had a Friday night dance. And of course, you know, being feminists and in the women's movement, we were all revolting against housewifing. So we tended to be pigs, frankly.
Basically, nobody wanted to do the shit work, though.
Right, so we didn't get done. So Saturday morning, we would arrive and clean up.
Before the people got there.
And then we would bring out the chairs and so forth. And we called it our fly-by-night abortion clinic. Because we'd set it up temporarily for Saturday. And so that was our beginning as far as being able to fund ourselves. Then when the Supreme Court decision came down, which was, what, this was 72, we had this for about a year, or over a year, you know, we were in a position to start the clinic. And at that point, the Women's Center had moved out. So we took over the same building and converted it into our clinic. We literally did take it over.
Okay. So, who's Peggy Graham? And, like, what happened there? That was a real confusing one to me.
Well, it was kind of confusing at that time, too. I'll tell you. No, let me tell you. That it was an interesting era. Because people kind of floated in and out and around a lot, you know, and didn't necessarily tell you where they came from or where they were going, and you didn't ask.
Well, so you got infiltrated, right? It wasn't it a police woman who posed? And,
yes.
And you're not holding, you don't ask. It's a woman who needs help, right?
That's right. You just, you know, everything was very loose and everything. Well, Peggy worked with Harvey Carman. He was his assistant.
She a nurse or?
No.
His assistant?
No.
He was a doctor, so.
She was 19, I think, at the time, and very confident.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I don't think I ever ran into anyone that was just kind of able to move around and kind of just get everything organized, right?
We're good at that kind of
stuff, huh? Just really good, and kept her own counsel. This is when we were referring women.
There.
And as I say, we always had an arm's length relationship with Carmen. Anyway, we were never...
I was thrilled with him, but...
No.
Yeah, you referred women to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Along, they could also go to Allred's clinic or whatever, but we, it was one of the places that we referred. And so, you know, he was his assistant. And there's not too much more to say about Peggy.
She wrote some article, and you guys issued a rebuttal against her.
That's
it was about menstrual extractions, which I had never heard of in my life until I...
I doubt if she wrote that article myself. I mean, I...
So, really, who do you think put her name on it?
Harvey Carman.
You think he wrote it?
Yeah. But I think he knew he couldn't put an article.
He knew that every woman wouldn't print it.
Right. Has to have a woman
put her name on it.
I think so. But, well, we had learned the technique of, you know, the
I have a great drawing on it from one of the issues. Right. Yeah, it was just the section from the syringe and just the simple hose.
Right, and he used that for early abortion.
Yeah, and then her article like said that it could be like an abortion technique. Was that it?
Well, he used it as an abortion.
You guys said no, not self home abortions, guys. Right. That's not what we had in mind.
Exactly.
You thought that was just like way too extreme.
No, we didn't think it was too extreme. It's just that we. We were not into making men get this technology to go out and do illegal abortion. You know, and remember, things were changing very rapidly at that time. When we started, abortion was really hardly available. And then, as I say, we started the referral service. And even as we did that, you know, it was opening up.
Yeah.
It was becoming... much more available to women. So the purpose behind his clinic there was, you know, diminishing greatly. And also we were finding out some not very good things. Well, actually, we hadn't yet found out a lot of this, okay?
Yeah, like all the other states where he'd gotten, like, in trouble and stuff like that. You didn't know about any of that yet.
No, we didn't know about that. All we knew was that it was very strange that the police were watching this place.
No, did you think he was a doctor? Like an MD doctor? Did he call himself Dr. Harvey Carman?
Yes.
And so you thought he was a physician?
At first we did. I think we found out subsequently that he wasn't.
Pretty early on you found out, but like...
Yeah.
The women...
But, you know, you could look across the street and see the police.
Really?
Yeah, they were staying in the hotel. They could pull back the curtain and stuff.
You're going, what is the guy, a drug dealer or something? What's going on?
Right.
You thought, yeah.
How does he exist? He's doing something so illegal.
Because it was, really. It was like an illegal clinic, right?
Yeah. Why aren't they arresting him?